Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Joni Cannell, your host for Real Life Lessons. Our topic today is real young entrepreneurs. And our leading lady today is Dr. Tina Klein with Launchpad. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning, Joni. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. This is going to be a great conversation. But before I bring you into the spotlight, I want to set the context for our listeners here for a second, because I think we're all aware that entrepreneurialism is on the rise. But listen to these statistics for just one second here. Inc. magazine says that the U.S. now has over 27 million entrepreneurs. Entrepreneur magazine says that freelancers make up more than a third of the United States workforce. And Forbes predicts that 50% of the workforce will be freelancers by 2020. Now, entrepreneur, freelancer, either way, we're moving to a much more independent workforce. So what does Tina do? She is the founder of Launchpad, and they offer an innovative program that introduces high school students to entrepreneurial skills. It's affiliated with the Rady School of Management at the University of California, San Diego. So, Tina, tell us more about Launchpad. Like, what kinds of entrepreneurial skills do you introduce to high school students, and what is the program?
Well, so Launchpad has two basic programs. So the first is a week-long program where we take high school kids through different slices, if you will, of entrepreneurialism. So we have them come in on Monday, and they learn about the entrepreneurial mindset and tools. The next day, they define their goals as an entrepreneur in business, and we expect them to be in teams and coming up with ideas. We brainstorm. The next day, they create viable business ideas, and then we talk about some of the helper people, so such as intellectual property attorneys, such as digital marketing, all sorts of people like that that become very helpful and necessary as they start to take their ideas to a deeper level. And then on Friday, we talk a little bit about consumer and buyer behavior, crowdfunding, and then the students do a pitch in teams in front of a panel of experts. And depending on the program, we're sometimes able to offer prizes. We like to offer prizes of mentorship and other ways, incubation space, for example, other ways to get the students further in their creative ideas. So that's program number one. Program number two is something we do together with the engineering school, and it's called a social innovation sprint. And we're doing our third one this April 14 and 21, so two successive Saturdays. And the first Saturday, the students, also in teams, go through a brainstorming process. They learn design thinking from my colleague at engineering, and they come up with viable product ideas. And then the second Saturday, they learn business skills and presentation skills, and again, we have a pitch, and the pitch also is to a panel of experts, and we have prizes, and again, we have actually $16,000 of prizes, which is amazing, I think, because they're all donated. And so it's mentorship, it's incubation space, and it's some cash, because sometimes students want to, you know, file for a patent or you know, they need materials. It just kind of gets them started. So those are our basic programs. We're very excited about them.
Wow, I love it. And so do any of these actually take off to real businesses?
You know, I was really excited to hear last night there was a student, a high school student, from the Social Innovation Sprint, who wrote me, and she said that their initiative, like they've started a website, they're getting grants, they're talking with people. This is a sustainability app that they wanted to start at UC San Diego, and they wanted to gamify sustainability, so like recycling and, you know, other sort of good for the climate initiatives that people can do. And they've really found traction, so I was really excited to hear that.
Oh, neat. Wow. Well, you know, just any parents who are listening, don't worry. We'll share Tina's contact information if you want to get your kids into her camps or her programs here. So
thank you. Thank you for that plug.
Tablets ready. Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, you know, I was reading the descriptions of the one of the programs you offer, at least. And, you know, you talk about in your description of in letting the students learn the entrepreneurial mindset and its essential tools. So what is the entrepreneurial mindset? How would you explain that?
Well, it's actually very simple. So we all have things in our environment that we don't think are so great. And so most of us complain or we criticize, and I think that's totally fine. But the entrepreneur will look at those things and think, how can I do that better? So you go from the complain, critical viewpoint to a solution-based viewpoint. And I think that's what makes a person an entrepreneur. So we all have it in us, small scale, large scale, but I think it's very important to look at the world like that. How can I improve it?
Oh, that's a great way for all of us to look at this. I mean, talk about very empowering mindset, because, you know, just sitting there and seeing all the problems is very depressing, right? As we know from
depressing
adults.
And counterproductive. Yeah.
Yeah. So how can I improve it? And that's not something that we just need for entrepreneurs, the people who are starting businesses, it's people within businesses too. I mean, a lot of big
Absolutely.
Businesses say, oh, we want to have an entrepreneurial mindset within the company,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this is good for all of us.
Entrepreneurship is also extremely important. And some companies, of course, as we all know, are better at it than others. And I know it's something that you work on, Joni, that trying to get companies to have a better sense of how they can create great ideas that they can capitalize on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. So getting young people to do this is really important for every walk of life, it sounds like.
Yeah, and for their communities. And, I mean, it has a potentially huge ripple effect.
So, you know, I'm just curious. You developed this program clearly because you saw a problem, and I'm going to ask you what the problem is and mm-hmm. a need and a way to improve it. So what is the problem? Like, what are the kids missing in high school today that they're not getting to help them be entrepreneurial?
Well, that's a great question, but I want to actually answer a different question.
Okay.
So I think the larger problem is our society. What are we not getting that we need? We need to motivate these kids and give them the skills to come up with great solutions to big-scale problems, little-scale problems, problems specific to their communities. So that I think, is the larger vision. But so back to your question of what are kids not getting, I think they may not be able necessarily to synthesize all the things that they're learning and look at them in a strategic way. Like, okay, here's this problem. I see this problem. How am I going to attack it? And also, once they find a problem, once they think of a solution, maybe they decide that when they go to college, they might need more background on computer programming, on chemistry, biology, engineering, you know, you name it. And I think it's a way for kids to focus their goals in a very productive way.
Wow, you can't ask for more than that. Well, I mean, especially
Thanks.
For teenagers. Oh, my goodness. Yeah,
yeah,
trying to help them focus. Right.
Yeah.
Wow. So can you give an example of that? I mean, yeah, I'm curious what that really means, what that looks like.
So, so let's say, let's go back to the example I used before with the student. It's a high school student, and she's actually in a team with two UCSD students. So with the Social Innovation Sprint, we actually mix ages and majors and interests and background. We like to have people work on topics that they're interested in, put them in groups like that, but diversify by everything else. So I think they've understood that they need, you know, someone who can do the programming, that they need to understand the science behind recycling and behind sustainability. And I think that is going to influence that person's, that high school student's choice of college major. Does that answer your question?
Yep. Yeah, it does. It helps. But you know what? You also said something else which really grabbed me in there. That, I mean, this is the psychologist, I should say, in me. Well, you put people together with similar interests, but diverse in everything else. So why do you do that?
Well, and you probably know the answer. It's probably a rhetorical question for you.
Well, I would say what my answer is, but you might answer a different question. I don't know.
So because we find, and the research backs this up, that people with different backgrounds have much more creative brainstorming sessions. So if we're all engineers, if we're all psychologists, if we're all theater majors, we think about the world in a certain way. But if you put somebody like that, you know, from one of those fields in a group of three, we all have really different ideas. And our different ideas, as long as we're free to express them, which we try to work on, makes the whole thing better, the whole process, the whole outcome.
Yeah. No, that makes total sense. Well, let me bring it to kind of my area of interest here, which is the real life, you know, resilient, empowered, authentic, and limber characteristics that are so important to succeeding in life. And, you know, I'm taking notes here. You know, we've talked about being empowered, certainly, to be able to get out there and do this, and being limber, which is the creativity side. You just talked about that. What about resilience? What kind of resilience do you see as important in entrepreneurialism, and how do you get that through to the kids?
Well, I think we all have ideas, and we all fall in love with our ideas. And those ideas, more often than not, business ideas, don't work out. For whatever reason, we haven't identified the target right. Maybe the target doesn't have the money to pay for whatever it is that we're offering. Maybe it's not available. There are a lot of things, and I think the resilience comes in where you can take input from your market or from not your market, and really have that shape what you can offer. So there's that part of resilience, but I think the other part of resilience is this, you know, and Google, I think, and is famous for saying this, but fail and fail fast. So you're going to make mistakes. You're going to estimate things wrong. You're not going to get what's happening necessarily all the time, and that's okay. So, you know, it's okay to not get it right, but then figure out what there is to learn from that and just get right back up and keep going.
Yeah, and I tell you, all the entrepreneurs I know and people who are in big business who were once entrepreneurs, they all just say that they made so many mistakes along the way.
Yeah.
But, you know, the first thing that you said was really interesting, and I'm going to turn it around in terms of, like, my speak. The way I talk to people is, you know, you're a marketing person, so you're saying, like, take input from your market and shape what you offer. To me, that's also just, in more broad terms, is, like, take feedback. Right, and be resilient when you get the feedback that people don't like what you offer, or either about yourself or about your product or whatever it is, and be willing to change. And that's something that, you know, a lot of people, you know, it takes, well, it takes resilience to get through that, but it also takes time to mature and be able to take that kind of feedback without getting too frustrated or hurt in the process.
Right.
So,
Yeah, all those things are really important. Or just, you know, that whoever it is that you thought was your market is not actually your market. So there's a story, gosh, what was it, Scion? So it was built, you know, that little boxy car, and it was built for kids in their 20s who like to work on cars and, like, get them all, like fancy. But Scion was really surprised when they found that middle-aged women thought that it was the best car, and their cars were sold to all these middle-aged women. They never anticipated that that would be a market. But it turns out the reason why the women liked it is because it was kind of fun and funky, but also it was very easy for them to get out in business clothes, out and in of the car, in business clothes. Oh. So it ended up being very functional. So
I had no idea about that. Yeah. I should switch cars. Boy.
I know. I know. Yeah. Forget that SUV.
Oh, that is funny. Yeah, that's, wow. That is a surprise. I would think that that would be a surprise for many people.
Yeah.
And then did they switch their marketing as a result of that?
They did switch their marketing for a result of it. They did switch their marketing as a result of that. And, you know, I'm thinking like those 20-something guys probably don't want the same car that the middle-aged ladies. It really reduces the cool factor.
Huh, so that's interesting. So when even like when another market starts to take an interest in it, it might dissuade a market that you had originally thought would appreciate it.
Right.
Huh.
Right.
Yeah.
And
no,
you
I
just
see
have
that
to
happening.
Be flexible and, and just say, okay, right, well, this is what the market's telling us. Okay, we're going to go with that.
Right. Well, let me ask you one more question about the kids. Then I want to ask some questions about you because our listeners love to hear about our leading ladies themselves. So one more question. That is, you know, what's missing for the entrepreneurs, you know, and for high school? Or what's the most difficult? Maybe I should ask that. Really, what is the most difficult for the high school students to learn when you see them going through this?
Yeah, and I would say it's not even really such a difficulty because we usually are able to get past it, I would say, on the first day. But just the idea that they have important things to add to the conversation. They have important product ideas. They see things in a way that adults may not or other people may not. And so just I think it's just basically that confidence that, yeah, maybe you're on to something, and it might not look like it, and other people might not understand it, but, yeah, just go with it. Let's see what happens. And so that, I think, is really the biggest hurdle, even though it isn't such a big hurdle. You know, in the scheme of things, it's just a little bump in the road. So we get them to say, yeah, you know, every big company that you know started out with an idea, and it's usually not the idea that they have right now. So Google started out differently, Facebook, you know. All of those started out differently than they are now. And back to just being responsive to the marketplace, it was like, okay, yeah, they listened, they figured it out, and they're in trouble now. But generally the process is sound in that, yeah, you just listen and you pivot.
Right. Okay. No, that makes sense. And sort of giving them permission and giving yourself permission to have an idea and think it's important, I think is part of it. Well, I did promise our listeners that we would get to your contact information. So Tina, just in case our listeners may want to reach out to you after our show, how would you like our listeners to contact you?
Oh, okay. Probably email is the easiest. I'll also give you my phone number if anybody wants to give me a call. So email is C for Christina, the numeral 1, Klein, K-L-E-I-N, at UCSD, so University of California, San Diego, .edu. So that's my email, c1klein at ucsd.edu. And phone number, 978-406-1248.
Excellent. So if you didn't catch Tina's contact details, we'll have her information listed in our show notes. No problem there. But just in case you can't even wait for that to come out, you can call her right after the show's over.
Thank you.
All right,
you.
So Tina. Yeah. Let's move our conversation to you. So tell our listeners how you came up with the idea for Launchpad and also how you made it happen.
So Launchpad, it was an iteration of me thinking about what is it at the Rady School that we could offer that we don't offer, because Launchpad is a joint initiative between our Center for Executive Development and SEED, which stands for the Center of, Innovation. Mm-hmm. I've forgotten what it stands for now. California Institute of Innovation and Development. So that's the one. That's it, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the one that houses all the innovation initiatives for the Rady School. So it's got an incubator, it's got a venture fund, it's got an incubator devoted especially to women, and veterans ventures. It's got a whole bunch of different things. So it was just like, gosh, we have all these fantastic resources here at the Rady School and at UC San Diego, and wouldn't it be nice to get those to kids earlier than in college? So everyone, I think, to a person that I've spoken to about this has been very excited about it. And so I have a lot of support from the Rady School and from UCSD, and lots of people to work with, lots of partners. People are very interested in helping with this as well. And, it just sort of formed. And so we started off with one program, and you know, listening to our market, we revised programs. Now we offer a couple of different ones that I talked about before, and we don't have so many different ones. So it took a little while. We had a large portfolio in the beginning, and people kept choosing the same two. So it's like, okay,
huh.
We don't have to offer all those other ones. Yeah, So I like to think that I took my own advice.
Yeah, it sounds like you did. Actually, I'm impressed, because often people don't.
Yes.
Oh,
for
boy,
sure.
Yeah. So what did you do before Launchpad? I mean, we hear a lot of marketing talk here. So
yes.
That's like sort of
yes.
A little preview there. So tell us about your career in marketing beforehand.
So I've had my PhD in marketing since 1996. And I've been on the faculty of UCLA's business school, USC's business school, MIT's business school, and since 2008 at UCSD. So I've, you know, been creating curriculum and programs and all sorts of things for the last 20 years. And I've also taught internationally. So I've done a whole bunch of different things. But, yes, mostly as a marketing professor for the last 20 years.
Okay, so you've been in contact with a lot of college students and graduate students, too, or just college level?
Yep, college students, graduate students,
okay.
Executives.
Right. So that's the full
yep.
gamut. And now high school, you add to that, too.
Now high school.
Wow.
Yep.
So how was it for you to move to teaching high school students? That sounds like a slight change. And I know you also teach really young kids, too. I've seen
yeah.
you out there. Yeah. So tell us about
mm-hmm.
that. What did you have to shift in yourself to appeal to this younger crowd?
Not much. You know, I've been very fortunate in that I've been working with kids who really wanted to learn these things. So, I mean, that's actually true for college students as well. But the high school students I've worked with, they come to these programs because presumably they've expressed an interest to the parents about it. And when we work with the Francis Parker kids, we do an interim week program for them. So every year for the last couple of years, we've done this. And the students at Francis Parker can choose to do all sorts of different extracurricular programs. So they can do poetry or landscaping or hiking. They can do all sorts of different things. And this is the only one that's really kind of academic. And so we have these kids, and some of them want to start businesses. Some of them just think they should kind of know the skills. And they've been fantastic. So they are of an extremely high caliber. I'm really excited to work with them. And, they're not that different than college students. They, you know, may not have as much experience and know all these other things, but the core is very curious and smart, and they have a lot to add.
Yeah, nice. And I'm just so inspired to hear that it wasn't their parents shoving them into a program that they actually got to choose, and they're interested.
Yeah.
So that's even
that's
more
my feeling,
inspiring.
At least. I don't know.
Yeah.
We all know those parents. You're like, push, push.
Yeah.
But, I think these kids genuinely wanted to do it because they could have done something else.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, I hear you. And when you say that, it really sets the context there that they were kids who chose this because they wanted to. Well, we're almost at the end of our time, so I have one more question for you. And that's because our listeners are largely made up of women in business. And, they're aspiring women entrepreneurs out there, successful women entrepreneurs out there. And I just wanted to hear from you. I mean, what kind of advice you might have for people who are, especially women, if there's anything different for men or not, let us know.
Yeah.
From your perspective,
right.
What's your advice to them?
Well, I mean, I'm sure you know the statistic that women run businesses, get founded at about, 1/50th of the rate as men run businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So we
mm-hmm.
have a lot of challenges. And given that this is the way it is, we can't probably change it in the too near future, I think bootstrapping is extremely important. And what I mean by that is that, you have a business, you fund it yourself, you try to, and you grow it. Because money is not all that available to you, which might be a blessing in disguise in the sense that you can retain ownership of your business too, because if you have someone invest in your business, well, then you have to give them some equity often. So there's that. I think we have to get really good at bootstrapping. We have to get really good at networking. So, use who you know and be very reciprocal if you can. And then another thing I think is really important, not only for women, but for everyone, and especially going into this economy where you mentioned the statistics before, where 50% of jobs will be freelance or gig or entrepreneurial, have multiple sources of income. And that's, of course, easier said than done, but it's, I think, so important going into the future because, as we know, things change, and something might become very successful, something might not, but, diversify your portfolio. Do different things. Figure out what you're good at, but try to have a few different things that you can do just so you're always relevant. And, one hopes you can grow a business and become very rich, but if not, you still have something great to fall back on.
Wow. Yeah, that is solid advice. And you are such a positive person. I mean, you talked about instead of just complaining, find a solution. And there you go, bootstrapping and having multiple sources of income so that you're stable and, you hope for the best, but you still have something in there that you can get going. Wow. I love that.
Yeah.
And I think that's really sound advice for people at all levels. I mean, because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
right.
I really appreciate that. Well, I'm going to have to say that's our show for today. And I'd like to say thank you to Tina for being our leading lady today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yes, mine too. And a special thanks to all our listeners. We'll be back again for another Women Lead radio show. We're here every Monday at 9 a.m. and Friday at 2 p.m. Our next leading lady is Lynn Lambrecht with The Living Planner. Our topic will be, don't work so hard for your money only to have your money not working for you. I'm Joni Cannell, host of Real Life Lessons. Thank you for listening, and remember, real women are resilient, empowered, authentic, and limber.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.